And we've convened the roundtable after yet another Browns victory. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, Doug Deacon, his partner on the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Jim, three wins in a row does make a streak now. We couldn't call two a streak.
Right.
This is an official streak.
This is an official streak, Vic, and this is good. And I think that the way they won the game yesterday, in every facet of the game, special teams now figured big into the game yesterday, and in the swinging of the momentum in the game with that huge punt return. But once again, after the first play of the game, the defense was very, very good. The offense was very efficient and started to really open things up in the second half. A very complete win for them. And now, you know, now you move on and try and get four.
Doug, what's different? What can you pinpoint anything from the Browns of these last few weeks to the Browns of 0-5 at the start of the season?
Well, I think, you know, you got people that you know what their roles are. You're finding ways to get the ball in their hands. You know, defensively, you get Joe Hayden back. That makes a major difference. You got more depth at defensive tackle than any team in the league. With quality, so that's different. And, you know, finally yesterday they got a chance where they got a lead and they got to play with a big lead. So I think, you know, on the offensive side, you know, they're still searching, I think, to put the complete game together where, you know, Whedon gets in a rhythm for 60 minutes. But, you know, the week before, you know, he struggled a little bit. He threw the two picks. You know, yesterday, a couple times he held on to the ball too long. But without that, he didn't turn the ball over.
Right.
That's the key.
Vic, we left here Friday wondering what we'd see out of this offense, and I thought we saw everything but the wishbone yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really – it was very creative, and I thought the seeds for that were planted a week earlier, you know, with the way they use Gordon and the tight end. And we saw a little bit of gadgetry and creativity yesterday, and it was very refreshing.
What's been consistent in these last two games especially is aggressiveness in the play calling, is keeping the throttle down as Pat Shurmur has done now offensively. And it tells me mainly that he's trusting his players enough to handle what he's putting out there, Jim.
Well, I would think, yeah, and I would also think it's a lot of fun to play for their offense now because he's throwing different things at you. I mean, Josh Cribbs has been, you know, I dare say a little bit whiny to get the football, and he got in there and he ran the Wildcat. He ran it pretty well, you know, thinking maybe that he got into the end zone on that one play. Greg Little deserves touches now, and they got him a different kind of touch yesterday when they ran him out of the backfield. That was a very effective run, I'll tell you what.
17 yards.
And, you know, Doug pointed out that that's what he did at North Carolina when he first showed up there. You know, he could play running back.
Right.
I think it's a lot of fun to be part of that offense right now because, you know, chances are they're going to incorporate you because everybody is trusting everybody else. But I think the big thing is, Vic, that offensive line is really good.
Huge.
Well, that, and I think with the young receivers, you don't have any divas yet. There's nobody saying, you know, I got to get the ball 8 or 9 times.
Yeah,
so
he threw the word yet. I noticed that.
So you basically, you got a team team play, and you get team play when you get the offense contributing, the defense, and then the special teams.
Yeah, and I think you can do more things again when players are more comfortable with what they're doing. Josh Gordon's such an amazing story at 21 years old and was so behind and so out of shape to see where he is now. And each week he keeps climbing that ladder of top-level legitimacy, elite-style receiver that you can see. I wouldn't call him that today, but he's on the – that's where that road's heading for
him. Yeah, you know, Vic, I know a team, whether it's, you know, any team that I cover, when the other guys in the locker room are saying that this kid is really something special, then I know that it's legitimate. And in talking to a couple people behind the scenes, apparently Gordon puts on a show in practice almost every day. You know, he's got huge hands, he's got great speed, he's starting to learn the game a little bit, and I think he, as much as what Phil Taylor has meant to the defense over the last few weeks, I think Gordon's emergence on offense has really been the difference.
And that kind of gets back to Tom Heckard, because when you go in the supplemental draft, you have to make a decision where you want to take that guy, and you've got to crank out a lot of tape and, you know, watch a lot of film. And to know, you know, have a pulse, because this guy, if he goes out in the draft next year, he's a first-round draft pick based off what he's done this year, for
top
sure.
10.
So, you know, you got to give – Tom stole one.
Yeah, no, he's been an incredible hit, and for a second-round pick, that's looking like a bargain. But I also like the effect he's having on Greg Little. You brought up Little.
Oh, I think Little is just a much different player.
You know, catching the ball, dependable there.
Blocking.
Seems to be focused, blocking. Doesn't seem to do the unnecessary stuff celebration-wise. He just seems like he's become a serious football player.
Well, I mean, I think that I just think maybe he wasn't comfortable being the number one guy. And, you know, they tried to do that to him last year. I mean, he started out in the slot, but by the end of the year last year, because of injuries and the natural attrition of things, he was the number one guy. He was the only guy, really, late in the year. But I don't think he was comfortable with that. Thus, the drops. He was trying to turn everything into a touchdown. He was also trying to, he was trying to play like he was the number one guy, you know, even with his antics after a catch. And it just wasn't the right size coat for him. And I just think right now that he's become a much more complete player because he's comfortable with what his role is. The other guy is off the charts. I mean, he really is. I mean, Tom, it's like when I used to go to Jacobs Field, I liked to watch infield practice when Alomar played with Vizquel.
Right.
I wanted to see them turn the double play because they were such naturals. Gordon is that guy, but Little, there's going to be plenty for Little to do here.
Definitely. And the other residual effect of this and what it should be when you've got two legitimate one and two receivers is other people get open. The tight end game now is becoming, I think, more effective too with Ben Watson. It's not to the level of some teams the way they feature the tight ends, but you can count on Ben Watson to make plays now. You can count on Jordan Cameron to make plays now.
Yeah, and I mean, the more comfortable Brandon Whedon gets with the offense and the fact that he really didn't use the tight ends much at Oklahoma State, you know, this is a whole
didn't
new little animal for him.
But he's got them there, and they're available, too, because of what's happening.
I mean,
on
if
that
you're
perimeter.
Not used to looking for a tight end, you know, it's a different game.
What do we make of explaining the Browns' running game is a little bit of a challenge
for
this group, by the way. By the way, this is the roundtable. Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers, yours truly, Vic Carucci here. The running game is Trent Richardson, slam it up, don't get much, but get touchdowns.
That's
the story.
They're going to have to figure out a way maybe to open things up a little bit again for him. I mean, he didn't get the ball really in space like we had seen. They weren't able to get that out as much. The team seemed to be defending that better over the last couple of weeks. But I tell you what, if you slam it up inside, he's going to give you everything he can. And it just seems like that whole mass of humanity continues to move before the whistle finally blows.
I mean, it's ESPN at 4 a.m. when they have the strongest guy thing and the guy is pulling the 7 buses. I mean, that's what his runs are like. I mean, you know, he goes into the pile and there's nothing there, but you just keep seeing the pile move.
That's incredible, right?
Right, and you don't see him.
And he's gone, but he is the engine. I mean, and it's 7 yards, and you go, wow, it's 2nd and 3. How about that?
And at some point, I think the use of the tight ends and, you know, getting them down the middle of the field and getting that safety out of the box is really going to help Trent Richardson run.
Right. No, it is. And we saw Montario Hardesty come in and give that instant offense
thing again.
And that's been a nice element. And that, too, I think has grown because you've got the changeup pitch, so to speak, from Richardson to him. We bring up the quarterback. We bring up Brandon Whedon. And his game, once again, was one of resilience where he doesn't have the sharpest day, and in Oakland he certainly didn't, but bounced back from that and had some passes knocked down, had a couple of near interceptions. But I guess what I see from the guy is he's never phased, Tom. He always looks like he's got it together.
He gives up the home run and then gets right back out there and start throwing his fastball again. Yeah, he
the pitcher's mentality.
Made some really nice throws, I thought, to the sideline. You know, real strong arm throws where he stepped into balls. And you know what? It's getting to the point in this season now, Vic, where they're getting a little bit of luck on their side as well. I mean, they're creating breaks for themselves. And sometimes, you know, like Ben Watson fought back and, you know, prevented an interception where earlier this year we saw instances where wide receivers weren't fighting for Brandon Whedon. So, you know, from a team standpoint, I think things are just finally starting to swing the Browns' way.
You know, the other thing, too, is that I don't know how many times on our shows, Doug, when people call in, and we can use the call, but when people call in and say, hey, the Browns don't make adjustments at halftime.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought they made great adjustments offensively at halftime yesterday and really came out and got him going.
Yeah.
You know, they gave him some easy throws that turned into big plays, but there were obviously some adjustments that were made yesterday at halftime. And I think they might have got read the riot act a little bit too by Brad Childress and said, hey, listen, let's go here. But it was a funky half because you had a punt return that took a possession away from you, and you had some things happen.
But, you know, say what you will about a two-win football team coming to town yesterday in the Kansas City Chiefs. They rushed the passer well. I mean, Tamahali's the real deal. Mm-hmm. And they came off the edge pretty well and challenged, I'd say, the two tackles, Joe Thomas, Mitchell Schwartz, as well as they've been challenged this season. They didn't, you know, they from their first play, I mean, they didn't come here completely asleep, but you had to not let them get confidence, and the Browns actually did take care of that. But this, you know, for those who would like poo-poo the game because, well, it was just the Chiefs, I'm not buying that, especially in this league and especially this season.
No, you look at that roster. I mean, 2 years ago they led the league in rushing.
Yeah.
So they can run the ball, and you know that. Then, you know, you've got a top-flight receiver in Bo. Unfortunately for them, you know, he went out. Defensively, you've got two outside linebackers. One's got 10 sacks. The other's got probably six or seven now. And so, I mean, they're pretty loaded with, you know, top draft picks, especially on the defense of Derek Johnson's a great linebacker.
Yeah.
He read a lot of plays yesterday and shot through. So, you know, no, that's better than a 2-11 football team.
Yeah, Vic, they're minus 23 in turnover margin. That's why they're 2-11.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Now, we look at their let's talk about the Browns' defense. And other than and the resilience that it showed from coming back from that first 80-yard touchdown run by Jamaal Charles, I liked the adjustments there. I liked what Dick Geron did relative to now not taking them on physically and kind of knifing guys into the cutback lanes. It looked more like the defense adjusted to that. And if because try to go toe-to-toe with that offensive line that's on the move like that, not a good idea. So they adjusted there, and guys like Craig Robertson and others were making – Tashaun Gibson were making plays.
Yeah, they really are. But I'll tell you what, Vic, I mean, the flow of that defensive line and how they just keep rolling off that bench, and Hughes and Billy Wynn and Rucker and Parker keep coming in there with the other two, you know, behemoth guys and Taylor and Reuben. I mean, that is something that's amazing. And I just think that the Browns are so much I think they're winning the physical part of the game. And I think they're beating a team. They're beating teams up a little bit now, where they used to be the guys that kind of, you know, took it on the chin.
Yeah, we'd see our trainer out there more than we see the other team.
You're right.
But,
yeah.
You know, and I, you know, that first play, it kind of scared you, you know, and then they get the ball back and they go down and miss the field goal. But the thing is, those first series of a game, whether you're offense or defense, is always the toughest because you got the adrenaline going. Yeah, they run the cutback and you're going to over-pursue. And then, you know, they learned, I think, from the Houston game, and they made the same mistake on the first play where they got one little defensive lineman with his shoulders perpendicular to the line of scrimmage, and you created a seam. And then they were able to get to the second level and wash the linebackers by, and then you got a big hole.
During one series yesterday, Vic, I just isolated on Phil Taylor for three or four plays, and just to watch him just grab guys and push them down and just that brute mentality that Jimmy's talking about, that's something the Browns haven't had here in a long time.
Well, and the guy cut him, and, you know, he went down, and he got up. The guy came over to say, sorry, and, you know, Phil shoved him. You know, that's the kind of disposition you got to have on it.
Nasty.
And yet I saw him, I think, Wednesday night downtown doing his own grocery shopping, and he was in the 8-item or less aisle.
Very passive in that regard.
Yeah, he was a perfect gentleman.
Now, Travis,
that was 8 honey-baked ham, though, right?
Yeah, 8 of them.
Very good.
4 under each arm. Travis Benjamin, we got to talk about that. We got to talk about who told me afterward that as he's holding the ball that he had from that 93-yard punt return, he said this will be the first of many. I mean, a confident young kid that I felt that was a great thing to hear. With his speed and his ability, that's not blowing smoke. That's real stuff.
Well, I mean, when we saw that speed, we saw it in preseason, don't you? Wouldn't you all agree? I mean, we saw it in preseason, and you go, is it preseason speed going up against, you know, third or fourth guys, string guys that probably aren't going to be on the roster, or is it real? And then it kind of went away because he got injured, and now he's back. But, I mean, you know how, Tom, you mentioned how everybody is in awe of Gordon out on the practice field. I mean, you know, didn't Richardson say yesterday that Benjamin's the fastest guy he's ever played with or seen
he's
run?
He's ever seen.
Yeah.
Well, in life,
I was talking to him out at the Oakland because in their media guide they had a list of that from 2008 to 2012, the top 12 40 times at the combine. And out of the top eight, five of them were Raiders. And I said, you know, you wouldn't even be in the top five in the Raiders in team speed. Well, yesterday he was in the top five.
No and, yeah. and look at this, Vic. We're talking about now Travis Benjamin, adding him as a playmaker. We've been talking about Craig Robertson, Gibson, some of these other more unheralded rookies that we haven't really discussed much this year, now making major contributions.
And I think that's the story of a team now that has this winning streak going and that has had a very nice so far second half of the season. All right, let's do our game balls. Jim?
Well, I'm going to give Craig Robertson a game ball. I thought he played a very active game at linebacker, and as physical as I said the Browns defense is playing, I thought he had the hit of the day when he hit McCluster, I think it was, on that play, and I think that kind of sent a message to Kansas City. This is a different Browns team. I'm going to give one to Benjamin, and I'm going to give Hardesty one for the one that he thought he should have had down by the goal line.
Well, I'll add on Phil Dawson. I mean, when you hit a milestone like 300 field goals, and now you're the most accurate kicker in the history of the NFL with 300, and he had three in the end zone yesterday. I mean, if you're going to win, you got to get consistency at a high level from your players, and nobody does it better than Phil.
I'll second, third, and fourth all of those, and I'll add Chris Tabor, special teams coach, to the mix. I mean, the bonsai play where they switch Benjamin and Cribs, what's designed to be a block punt turns into a touchdown return. So kudos to him.
All of the above, and I want to add Dick Duran. I think the adjustment on defense to handle that zone blocking scheme was huge. All right, guys. Well, we will convene at the end of the week to talk about the Browns and Redskins and appreciate it. It's the Roundtable. Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.